Okay, so start Gimel Hilchos Nachlos. Any lachat has to do with Bechor and he wasn't able to be Yerush. A halal. Any Bechor Nachlos Bishtaim and Chasim Harim Lavav Acha Misasava. So when it comes to the firstborn, he doesn't get that double amount on any property that will, let's say, be given over to his father's estate post mortem. Elavan Chasim Uzakum Avish Bavashusa. Rather, if only that which is already in his father's possession at the time of death that he inherits double of Shemar Bechol Shein Matvav. Ketza was an example. Echa mi morishay aviv shemis lachar misas aviv habachor lachar misas aviv. So let's say one of the people who the father would have inherited his estate didn't take place until after the father dies. Habachor koshig yoshig echad. So both the firstborn and the other son inherited equally. V'chini maisel aviv malvo haisel lo svina biyam yoshig echad. So too, let's say the father has a debt that's owed to him, or he owns a ship that's out at sea. Both of them inherited together equally. Let's say the father left them a son that was, excuse me, a cow that was rented out, or let's say it was, what do you call it, pasturing, the Yalda Bechor, and the Bechor gives birth, Miltava Uvlada Pishnaim. So then in such a case, the firstborn receives the double share of both the cow itself and any children has. Let's say someone who works with the father shechs an animal, and then the father dies. Then the son gets double the matanos from that specific animal. So a bechor does not receive a double portion of profits that happen to the estate that take place after the death of the father. Rather, you should have the value of the increase determined. And then he should give that equivalent of the difference to the kids who are not bechoras. There's only it only applies when the property actually undergoes some type of financial change. Could go in Carmel Shinosu Shibolim, the Kofnio Shinosu Tamar. So for example, let's say the grain was in its infant form and now became actually grew to full amount. But anytime profit or increase in value happens naturally. There's no change. You can go even cut, for instance, a small tree that grows, va'aba gets thicker, va'aris shalasa shirton, or for instance, what they call dirt was washed up into an area of land. Harizin notes of a shavat bishnayim. In such case, there, then the bechor is entitled to that change, an increase in value double. But if the property increased in value because of some type of investment, then you will not get the double portion. So the Bechor does not receive a double share of any debt that's owed to the father, even if it's in the contract, even if the debt was there and the land was taken to pay off the debt. Let's say the father is actually owed a debt by his firstborn son. So it's a question of whether he gets double, because the money was in his possession, or he doesn't take it whole, because of his father's debt he's inheriting, and therefore it didn't actually get his father's possession yet. That's why you'd only take half of the bechor that's that he's entitled to. So when the firstborn sells his that extra double portion, meaning the portion on top of him being a bet pashut, before the estate is actually divided up, that's a good sale. Because the extra bonus that the bechor gets, he's entitled to it prior to any dividing up of the estate. Therefore, if he divided up with his brothers before this took place by some of the property, whether it's real estate or movable items, and he takes the amount that a regular sum would get, the yeser, the chol and the chasim, right? What do you call it? At such a point, he's considered giving up that the rest of the what's otim is before, and also the shah and the kapashim. So basically, he's removed the status of Bechor and he collects only based on what regular sum collects. Only when he did not protest. Let's say he protested against his brothers. He said in front of two, for instance, he says, I'm dividing these grapes equally with my brothers. But nonetheless, I'm not going to give up my rights to Bechor. That's a protest. So he's not considered to have waived his rights as a Bechor to other property owned by the father. Even if he protests, what do you call it, by the case of dividing the grapes, right? When they're attached, and then they were harvested and split equally. Lo v'yeser v'shana chasim. So, or lo v'yeter v'shana chasim. We consider it only only here where he gave equal rights, but he still gets the before of other property. What is this like? Somebody protests by grace, but he's divided up equally with olives. Because in such a case, he's considered to have waived his rights, everything. Let's say a brother performs Yibum. So he inherits all the property of the state at the time his brother dies. So any property that would come to the deceased afterwards, it's like right any other brother. Because in the Torah calls him a bechor, because the objective is firstborn insofar as making sure his name is not wiped out. So if the brother performs Yibum, doesn't get any what they call property that would normally be purchased by the state. So too, doesn't get any profit after his father passed away. Mishas Misa, Ashas Chakurasov, from the time of his death until the time of dividing it up. Im Echav Nechzeil. Even if the property or the items went up in value after Yibum, before it's divided, the estate divided up. When it comes to those profits, he's still like the other brothers. Even if he takes two portions from this, his portion and one from his brother, that did Yibum, from what he called. In such a case, he's allowed to do this because the father died while they were still alive. We already explained that he's given two portions of one field together. But in a case where someone who engaged in Yibum, what happens there? So he gets one portion and his brother's portions, right? Bigar off through a lottery. If the lottery allows him to get two portions in two different places, that's what he gets. And finally, so in a case where a widow didn't have kids, Shemesa, what do you call it, dies. I feel also about Echamin Acham Maimar, Mishpachas Besavia. Excuse me, Maimar. So even if a situation where she was going to get married to one of the brothers, I feel also about Maimar, Mishpachas Besavia, Yorshim Nechsei Melo, Bechasi Nechsei Tzambarzal. So the father's family would inherit both Nechsei Log and half of Nechsei Tzambarzal, Yorshim Baal, Yorshim Tzivasa. The inheritors of the husband would yorish the ksuba imchatsi nechset zombarzal, as long as half of the nechset zombarzal, the yorish yambal, chayav mikvarasa, the chiv of burial goes on the inheritors to the husband. Ho vahin yorish ksubasa, since they're yorish ksuba, kumash ranam kumach, like the Ram will explain already. And then it's parak gimel, and we'll continue with parak dal next time.